keep it alive through these lines I write. I keep it live cause I thrive. I might just blow your mind tonight. I'm so hyped, but it's no hype. From this height, it's direct, it's on sight. I'm your type, lend me your ears to show you that there's something in me. I'm not giving up, I'm standing right here, holding these days hostage. And I'll make this my year, we turning fear into love. And the love's in the air, I love doing this cause nothing compares. Nothing can share that same type of feeling. When you feeling in flutter, they can't catch it, it's havoc. I rip to a tear, switch the scenario, my stereos, I leave them impaired. Variables start to change and they're all in my range. I just gotta grab it, it's all mathematics. Every step is drastic, I make it fantastic. I'm trying to take your breath away, asthmatic.
This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know, no through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo. This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know, no through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo.
Yeah, just nod your head with it. So explicit and vivid. Every image is intricate, intimate. I put my all into it. No scrimmage and no rules. I'm a pro tool. Hear my heartbeat beating to the vocals. I'm so loco, lost my mind, oh no. It's ponderoso, dope so. No overdose, cause it's dope, yo. Man, this is house grown, mixed with some milestones. So I let the style flow down like the Dow Jones. Bringing it with some foul tones, letting the crowd no, we getting loud, so it's eardrum rudiments. Yeah, we bring it rude again. Move, little hooligan. Music for tuning in. Full time to the 10. I'm on my clock, like I told you. I'm doing this for dreams we pursuing.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome back to the Anti-Media Radio. It's Friday. You're here with LeBron. It's September 19th, 2014. It's been an interesting week. I hope yours was well. I'm going to speak about something close to my heart this evening. It's literally at the core of my existence. Thoughts that provoke my mind the most often are the ones related to the being, the body we all inhabit, and what role it plays in our existence. My perspective of the body and how we use it and what it's intended for is unconventional at times. But people are beginning to realize that there's more to existing than just consuming, which is exciting to me. And they're choosing to thrive instead of just be, which is also exciting to me. And I feel like our happiness in our life is directly related to how we're feeling. And I'll give you several examples of that this evening. And more importantly, I think how we are feeling is directly affected by the thoughts that we are creating. And this is not an original idea. It's an idea that has existed for a very long time. But why it's so important to me is because I've seen demonstrations of it throughout my entire life. The reason I chose to be in healthcare is because I watched my grandma suffer my entire life. Like, I was afraid as a child that she was going to die. Like, I understood that her health was poor. She was confined to a chair, basically. She couldn't really walk. She had a poor circulation, diabetes, eventually congestive heart failure. You know, these conditions that we label, these symptoms that we give names. I wonder, instead, are they matters of the soul and the heart? And if we were to address those areas, perhaps everything would kind of follow suit. Because essentially, physiologically, realistically, actually, your body only does what your mind tells it. So if you're having a reaction within your body, it's because of the action that occurred within your mind. Think about that for a second. It's true. Aren't you not dictating the motions, conscious or unconscious, within your body? You breathe without even thinking. You blink. Your blood circulates. Your heart pumps. Your muscles contract. Your nerves have impulses. you don't have to say, hey brain, send a neurological signal through this synapse and activate this sensor for this motion. You don't have to do that. It just does it. That's amazing. It's difficult, though. Emotions are very profound, and it's the beautiful, terrible, awesome part of being alive, though. If we didn't feel, what would be the point? I'd like to go deeper and say that our purpose here is to learn. I call it life school. We're here to figure stuff out. And once we figure out a lesson, we get to go to a different class, if you will. You know, like in grade school, you move up in a grade. You can move up grades in life school. It happens all the time, depending on how well you pay attention. Because there are tests. There are always tests. And people don't understand this type of perspective, which is why I share it, because it's challenging. My own family and people I encounter that I consider friends see it as weakness, and they often take advantage of it, and I allow it to happen because I know that I'm part of a lesson for them. And perhaps in my kindness, I know it's kindness, but they see it as weakness. They will have a reflection, maybe not instantaneously, but eventually. They'll have a moment of clarity where they go, ooh. And I know it'll happen eventually, and that's why I allow it to happen. And I often struggle with that. What is being a kind-hearted human with the perspective of everything is energetic, vibrational, and based on frequency, existing in a world where it's all about me, me, I, need, want, must have. Being so open and giving is a challenge. And it's often seen and received as passive, which I remind you is just another word that we made up to describe a behavior. But I choose to call it reactive. I'm trying to actually scratch that. I'm going to call it active, not passive, because I am being active, but towards something that's futuristic. Because I know that perhaps in the future, that individual will have a recollection of feelings, something that they're holding within them, and then they'll realize what occurred. That action may be delayed, but it'll still have a reaction based on the recollection and the realization, and then perhaps that'll help one to receive a revelation. Because despite my words being misconstrued and misunderstood, I speak them because I feel an obligation. And tonight we're going to talk about something that is controversial, and I'm going to give you some examples of how I faced it in my life. The first was being my grandma and just watching her health deteriorate over time. And she was much like me. She had an open heart, and she gave and she gave and she gave. And I think, essentially, she died of a broken heart. You know, if you think in terms of energy, she just gave it all away. And I feel like she existed in my life, you know, instead of mourning her death and saying, oh, life's terrible, I go, how am I going to fix this? So then I became aware that I got to help people be their best. Because if I can help someone be their best, then that person can be influential on someone else to help them be their best. It's all perpetual. I read some interesting articles this week. The Mind Unleashed is a pretty good website. You guys should check it out. They have the same perspective that I do. They want people to be the best. And there's so many different topics and subjects you can read about. The ones I've chosen this evening, this article is called Shamanic, or What a Shaman Sees, What a Shaman Sees in a Mental Hospital. This was published on the 25th of August. In the shamanic view, mental illness signals the birth of a healer, explains Maldoma Patrison. Mental disorders are spiritual emergencies, spiritual crises, and need to be regarded as such to aid in the healer being born. What those in the West view as mental illness, the Darga people regard as good news from the other world. The person going through the crisis has been chosen as a medium for a message to the community that needs to be communicated from the spiritual realm. Mental disorder, behavioral disorders of all kinds, signal the fact that two obviously incompatible energies have merged into the same field, says Dr. Salm. These disturbances will result when the person does not get assistance in dealing with the presence of the energy from the spirit realm. So we're talking about energy here. One of the things Dr. Salm, I may be mispronouncing this, encountered when he first came to the United States in 1980 for a graduate study was how this country deals with mental illness. When a fellow student was sent to a mental institute due to nervous depression, the doctor went to visit him. He says, "I was so shocked. That was the first time I was brought face to face with what is done here to the people exhibiting the same symptoms I've seen in my village." What struck him was that the attention given to such symptoms was based on pathology, on the idea that the condition is something that needs to stop. This was in complete opposition to the way his culture viewed such situation. As he looked around the stark ward at the patients, some in straitjackets, some zoned out on medications, others screaming, he observed to himself, "So, this is how the healers who are attempting to be born are treated in this culture. What a loss. What a loss that a person who is finally being aligned with the power from the other world is just being wasted." Another way to say this, which may make more sense to the Western mind, again, words, is that we in the West are not trained how to deal or even taught to acknowledge the existence of psychic phenomena. Again, the word psychic is another word. I like to think of that word as being highly attuned. Like you're using all the senses that you have. They call it a phenomena. I love that word anyways. The spiritual world, in fact, psychic abilities when energies from the spiritual world emerge in a Western psyche, that individual is completely unequipped to integrate them or even recognize what is happening. The result can be terrifying. Without the proper context for and assistance in dealing with the breaking through from another level of reality, for all practical purposes, the person is insane. Heavy dosing with antipsychotic drugs compounds the problem and prevents integration that could lead to soul development and growth in the individual who has received these energies. On the mental ward, the doctor saw a lot of beings hanging around the patients, entities that are invisible to most people, but that shamans and psychics are able to see. They were causing the crisis in these people, he says. It appeared to him that these beings were trying to get the medications and their effects out of the bodies of people who were trying to merge with them and were increasing the patient's pain in the process. The beings were acting almost like some kind of excavator in the energy field of people. They were really fierce about that. The people they were doing that to were just screaming and yelling, he said. He couldn't stay in the environment and had to leave. In the Dogara tradition, the community helps the person reconcile the energies of both worlds, the world of the spirit that he or she is merging with, and the village and community. That's a good word there, village and community. That person is able then to serve as a bridge between the worlds and help the living with the information and healing they need. That person is then to serve as a bridge between the worlds and help the living with the information and healing they need. That's beautiful. Thus, the spiritual crisis ends with the birth of another healer. The other world's relationship with our world is one of sponsorship, Dr. Soam explains. More often than not, the knowledge and skills that arise from this kind of merger are knowledge or skill that is provided directly from another world. The beings who are increasing the pain of the inmates of the mental hospital world were actually attempting to merge with the inmates in order to get messages through to this world. The people they had chosen to merge with were getting no assistance in learning how to bridge between the worlds, and the beginning's attempts to merge were thwarted. The result was sustaining of the initial disorder of the energy and arbitrating the birth of a healer, so preventing. The Western culture has consistently ignored the birth of the healer, states Dr. Soam. Consequently, there will be a tendency from the other world to keep trying as many people as possible in an attempt to get somebody's attention. They have to try harder. The spirits are drawn to people whose senses have not been anesthetized. The sensitivity is pretty much read as an invitation to come in, he notes. Those who develop so-called mental disorders and those who are sensitive, which is viewed in Western culture as an oversensitivity, indigenous cultures don't see it that way, and in a result, sensitive people don't experience themselves as overly sensitive. In the West, it is an overload of the culture they're in that's wrecking them, observes Dr. Soam. The frenetic pace, the bombardment of the senses, and the violent energy that is characterized with the Western culture can overwhelm sensitive people. Definitely. He moves on to talk about schizophrenia and foreign energy. So if you want to read more about that, you can. He goes on to speak about Alex, who was considered crazy in the United States, but a revered healer in Africa. He went to Africa when he was 18 after suffering a psychotic break when he was 14, which proved to have hallucinations, suicidal thoughts, and severe depression cycles. He was in a mental hospital and he had been given a lot of drugs. And this doctor, who was a shaman, took him to his tribe back in Africa, and he reports that after 8 months, Alex had become quite normal. He even participated with the healers in the business of healing, sitting with them and assisting them in what they were doing with their clients. So that's pretty interesting. We have to consider, just for a moment, what was the energy like when you were being created? I like to think about this a lot, especially when I'm considering my characteristics as a human and how they relate to my mom. I can see her within me, and she emerges without my effort. You know, it's just there. It's one of those innate things I was speaking of earlier, like breathing. And it makes sense when you consider I was made from her. I am essentially her and my dad combo, correct? And of course I'm going to be like her. I came from her. But more intriguing, what kind of energy did she use to create me? I like to think of what was she sending me while in the womb to essentially create the building blocks that would become me. You know, like the canvas. Like she was putting all these canvases in line to be painted on with the story of my life. But from what are those canvases composed of? That's what I consider. And it's not forever though. It's just the beginning. You decide what to put on there. And I guess my point is that despite what you think you may have to be based on somebody else's perspective, it's not the case. It's your perspective. You decide what to paint on the canvases. You have the canvases. They are a gift to you, but you put what you want on them. And I like to consider a lot the synonyms that we use, the words and the synonyms that relate to them. And perhaps we're all talking about the same thing, but we're using different words. So when we speak of other realms or energies or spirits, maybe some people call that heaven, or maybe some people call it God, or maybe some people call it the devil. It just depends on how they perceive the world around them. And I think a lot of times we're afraid, especially here in the West, because a lot of the things that are deemed normal and conventional and just and right, rawr, are idiotic, and it's hard to identify with them as a creature, you know, one that operates innately, because everything you believe within you, the inborn knowledge, is opposed. And I encourage you not to let other people tell you how to paint your lines, because after all, you are creating a representation of you. You know, we are affected by everyone we come in contact with, don't get me wrong, you know, but you decide how they affect you. Earlier I was talking about action and reaction, and how that I try to live in this quote-unquote passive manner just enough to make an impression. Because despite the transaction, I know that it's all energetic, and eventually there will be a reaction. Other people call it karma. Albert Einstein said, E equals MC squared. See all these different ways we have of describing the same thing. I dove into the topic of why I do what I do earlier. It's because I watched my grandma suffer. And I'm reminded daily that people are powerful. In my office, we inhibit nerve function, which means the body and the brain can communicate without interference. So the theory is that essentially there's optimal performance based on this non-obstruction of nerve pathways via misaligned bones or subluxations. And it's very interesting because I've been there for 5 years. And I realized over the course of time that what the doctor does doesn't matter. What I do does not matter. The type of treatments we do, they matter somewhat. What matters the most, though, is the mind of the individual. So after being there for a couple years and finding myself frustrated because all of these things that I've learned in school about bodies and how they work is wrong. Because I was taught, you know, you do this and this will happen. But I realized that when the person is in the state of mind of wellness and they are hoping to achieve their ideal self, and they want to wake up feeling good every day, and they want to have control of their health and be active in it, not passive, but active, meaning they're exercising and they're drinking a proper amount of water and they're stretching, they're not sitting all day, they're, you know, taking the time to move and exercise their mind. And these are things that I hope to teach people. And I realized when I started reaching out about, and not being afraid, that was part of it, is I had to be comfortable enough to open that box with people. And it happened over time, realizing that people want to tell me things, and they feel comfortable around me. So I started a little social experiment, if you will. And not on everybody, but just on the ones who are open to receiving, you know, who were open to having like a canvas trade, if you will, where we paint a little on each other's canvas. And we just share with them these ideas of self-empowerment and the power that made the body heals the body, as above, so below. you're the master of your universe. These types of notions. Basically, I'd watch these people light up. And I realized that I had a gift. I know how to remind people of their power. I'm not essentially giving them any power. I'm just reminding them that it's there. And everybody receives messages in different ways, so you have to be careful with how you say things. And this, too, I struggle with. You don't want to say things directly. You kind of have to put it in a metaphor, so people have to think about it a little bit. It's definitely more interesting that way, and way more received. Well received. So, if you plant seeds of wellness wherever you go, it's going to be perpetual, even if it's not instantaneously. So I'm talking to you about how the mindset of my patients really determines their care in the manner in which they heal. And something that people have a hard time with, and I think why they seek medical treatment, conventional medical treatment often, is because they're prescribed pills. Not that I'm indicating that people have problems with pills in general. I mean, they do, but that's just how we're taught. We're taught that, you know, I need to go to the doctor. I have to pay this copay. I'm going to see him. I'm going to wait an hour. I'm going to see him 5 minutes. He's going to give me a prescription, and I'm going to go home, and I'm going to take these drugs after I buy them, and eventually I'm going to get better. But there are ways that you can relieve your pain naturally with foods and allow the body to function as a self-healing machine. I like to think of pain as weakness leaving the body, because I do think in terms of energy, and I think that things get stored in the muscles and the tissues, whether it be an experience, a feeling, an encounter, whatever. You're experiencing it. You're going to feel it, whether you're conscious of it or not. And whether or not you process it determines your understanding of it. So I think when we have pain, it's an indicator, a reminder, a signal from your body saying, hey, I need attention here. What happened there to that, in that particular place where the pain is? And chiropractic, which is the primary aspect of our healing center besides massage, and we refer to an acupuncturist. These are all just modes of activating the body's self-healing mechanism. And the interesting thing is that I think everybody responds differently to a different type of modality. For me, I like to be adjusted when needed, because I have a damaged growth plate. So I have one leg that's 5 millimeters shorter than the other, and I always lose my heel lift. So my pelvis goes off, you know, I get adjusted like once a month now, but depending on what I'm doing, like if I'm painting for 8 hours straight and I've had my neck in a weird position, because I'm a really weird painter, like I don't use an easel, I hold the painting in one, I hold the canvas in one hand, and I dip in paint that's like on a flat surface, and then I paint on the canvas. I do everything backwards. That's just how I roll. But as a result, I have awesome biceps, but often I need like some tissue work in my upper back because I'm weird. So it just depends on what you're doing with your body and what type of body work appeals to you. But I encourage you, whoever you are, to seek one that works for you, whether it's stretching, massage, acupuncture, yoga, Reiki, meditation, did I say chiropractic? Chiropractic, acupressure, cupping. There are so many different types of modalities. Something I've been experiencing a lot of goodness from are essential oils and aromatherapy. I highly recommend that. Smell is a beautiful skill to possess, and you can utilize it to encourage all types of feelings and emotions within you. But let's continue on to 10 potent foods that kill pain fast. In case you're feeling pain and you're not sure how to deal with it, perhaps this can help you while you seek the answers. Pain is a mechanism that our bodies use to tell us that is not well. Once we are aware of what's wrong, we can do well without it continuing. Unfortunately, that's not how it works. For those of us who suffer with chronic conditions such as arthritis, headaches, including migraines, tendonitis, or other painful ailments, it's all too tempting to reach for commercial painkillers like ibuprofen. But is that the best course of action? There are other natural pain-relieving agents that Mother Nature has thoughtfully provided, and it's just a matter of knowing which ones work and which ones don't. This already sounds delicious. Are you ready for this? Dark cherries. A recent study carried out by Johns Hopkins Pain Treatment Center has confirmed that eosinophils, a type of bioflavonoid, or plant pigment that is found in dark fruits such as cherries, are proficient at being able to block the pain signals that emanate from inflammation. Pain is just a chemical, after all. So sitting down and enjoying delicious cherries, at least 20 of them, can help to remedy joint pain, stomach pain, and other pain that is caused by inflammation. It can also help to ease PMS symptoms too. Natural relief agent number 2 is ginger, one of my favorites. It's used in Ayurvedic medicine, which is natural medicine. It is a renowned natural pain relieving agent. Ginger powder, which can be bought in any supermarket, has the ability to lessen pain by inhibiting certain toxic compounds that your body manufactures, which are the cause of inflammation that cause pain to your joints and muscles. You can also chop fresh ginger root and make it into a paste, which can then be applied topically to joints and muscle radiating pain. Ginger root can also be eaten, and as such is a very effective remedy for stomach pain and nausea. Many moms-to-be also chew on ginger to help ward off dreaded morning sickness. This is interesting. Cold water fish, such as herring, mackerel, sardines, salmon, and tuna, are renowned for good health. The omega-3 fatty acids that cold water fish contain enhance cardiovascular health and lessen any inflammation that might gather around cartilage. Not many people are aware that eating these fishes can help fight the pain of a back injury, painful joints, or a neck injury. That's subjective, and pain in general, right? Tahini, which is used in North Africa, Greek, Turkish, and Middle Eastern cookery, delicious, is also an excellent pain-relieving agent. It is made from ground sesame seeds and is rich in magnesium, a mineral that many people have a deficiency of. This mineral has many benefits, amongst the ability to ease muscle tension. You can also use it for treating headaches and sore muscles. Magnesium is one of the building blocks of life. It's super important. Turmeric, which is amazing as well, is an Indian spice that has many health benefits. It contains curcumin, which gives it its natural anti-inflammatory characteristics. Turmeric powder is made from the turmeric plant and is a beautifully fragrant and golden spice, which in addition to helping you fight pain naturally, is also a great flavor additive, and it's a beautiful color. The next, number 6, is aloe vera juice. Aloe vera is renowned as a topical treatment by way of a skin moisturizer and helps to soothe and heal burns. But what many people are not aware of is that you can drink it, and it's a super remedy for stomach ulcers. If you drink it twice per day, it will help treat stomach symptoms, which include pain, feeling nausea, and fatigue, because the blood loss that ulcers can endanger. It also helps to accelerate recovery. I am a proud and firm believer in aloe juice. I actually have what doctors call Crohn's disease, which is an autoimmune disease. My body basically attacks itself when I eat certain things. I like to call it a hypersensitive BS signal. Anytime I put any weird stuff in my body, it goes, oh, hell no, and it attacks it. Unfortunately, I'm the one holding that bad stuff, so eventually I'm the one who gets attacked. But there was a time when I didn't know what to do or how to prevent it and how to eat well, and my stomach literally stopped working, and my bowels stopped absorbing. And I couldn't keep anything in, and I couldn't keep anything down. And the only thing that saved me was aloe vera juice. That was the only thing I can drink until I felt better. And a combination with that and some laser therapy, which is light therapy, I was able to eat again and feel better and stop ingesting triggers and do a cleanse because my bowels were, like, up for retaining things. And I was able to get all the toxins out and eventually start rebuilding with goodness. So aloe vera juice for the win. It is amazing. Number 7, organic papaya fruit. Papaya fruit contains an enzyme known as papain. This enzyme is a natural anti-inflammatory straight out of Mother Nature's closet. It works best when it's combined with bromelain, which is in pineapple. Papain is sometimes employed following a surgical procedure when it helps to lessen any swelling and pain. Papaya extract is a rich source of powerful antioxidants and also contains many vitamins which are helpful in underpinning or enhancing many body functions. A great way of consuming papaya is in a smoothie. I'm having a hard time speaking today, which is not very useful for this particular occurrence. Number 8 is raw probiotic yogurt. The human digestive and intestinal tract house billions of bacteria, both good and bad. Good bacteria fulfills an important function in prompting the digestive process. If the proportion of bad bacteria outweighs that of good, it can have an adverse effect on digestions, which can have many related illnesses and conditions, including skin rashes and hair loss. It can also bring about a hormonal imbalance, which can lead to further illness. The live bacterial cultures and probiotic yogurt supplement the good bacteria already in the gut, helping to remedy many conditions, including IBS, flatulence, and painful bloating of the abdomen. Probiotics are super important and delicious and essential for digestion. Number 9, chilies. Yummy. They contain capsaicin, which is a natural ingredient that you'll find in many topical pain relief creams and ointments. Capsaicin has the ability to draw something called substance P out of your nerves. It's a chemical messenger that carries a signal to the brain that it translates as pain. When you effectively block the messenger, you block the pain too. Whenever you apply capsaicin cream, you can either buy over the counter or make it yourself. There's a recipe on this website. I'm reading from healthyholisticliving.com, by the way. The article's titled 10 Potent Foods That Kill Pain Fast. Let's see here. Number 10, peppermint. It's an excellent treatment for soothing muscle spasms. It is the menthol and peppermint that works the magic. You can purchase peppermint oil over the counter, and you can apply it topically to where the pain is. For headaches, simply crush some peppermint leaves against your temples or alternatively make a tincture, which is great for relaxed, stressed, and painful muscles. So you'd have to look up how to make a tincture. It's not that hard. So those are some ways that you can relieve pain naturally, which I think is an important thing to know. Because it gives you control, and it gives you power to be more active in your wellness, which is very empowering. When you know that you can do it, you do it. When you don't know that you can do it, you don't do it. So, do you know that you can do it? Seriously, next time you're hurting, try one of these remedies. Something that they didn't mention that I think is very important is ice. It's naturally anti-inflammatory. It's topical as well. But the key to ice is that you want to have applied it for the optimal time, which is between 15 and 20 minutes. Because your body is super smart, if it's on too long, it'll go, "Oh no, we're so cold! Send in the rescue team!" And it'll rush more blood to the area, which will swell up the vessels, which will put pressure on the nerves, which will cause more pain, essentially. So you want to stay within the window. And smaller muscles require less time. You just have to use common sense. And some people apply heat, which gives an opposite effect. Like, there are times and circumstances to use ice and times to use heat. Like, for example, if your muscles are tight, you want to use something warm to help get the blood flowing. If your muscles are sore, you want to use ice to decrease the inflammation. So you just have to be in your body and realize what is what. But next time you're hurting, try one of those remedies. So we've been talking about mental wellness and how it affects the body. Then we talked about things we can do externally, things that we can ingest to help the body fight pain. But something that I think is even more important is how do we increase our awareness as not only this self-healing mechanism, but as a powerful creature in every sense. If you can learn to control your body, you can essentially learn to control your world, believe it or not. And an interesting article that is also published on the Mind Unleashed, the Mind Unleashed, is 5 Ways to Increase Your Spiritual Awareness. This was published the other day on the 16th. And I'll begin with, many of us seem to think that being spiritual means that we have to be religious. Just because you aren't directly affiliated with a specific religion doesn't mean you shouldn't strive to be more spiritual. The whole concept of spiritual awareness isn't about connecting with a higher divine power, but also connecting with nature and yourself. Once you have established this connection, you will see life from a whole different perspective. People with a highly developed sense of spiritual awareness are often less prone to depression, addiction, manipulation, and control. In addition, they generally understand what it means to be truly happy. Here are 5 techniques that can help you increase your spiritual awareness. Technique number 1, learn how to communicate with your soul. Your soul is an energy entity that holds part of your awareness and memories. Its energy is what animates your body. In other words, your physical body acts like a vehicle to house your soul so that it can experience what it means to live in the material realm. For these reasons, your soul is your true identity. Your body isn't your true identity because it's made of matter, which is made of atoms that are mostly empty space. The space that isn't empty in the atoms isn't solid, but it's actually made of energy. So what does this mean? It means that matter and your body are more like illusions or projections. The only thing that is truly real is energy, which is what your soul is made of. To communicate to your soul, you first need to believe that you have one. Next, learn how to calm your mind so that you can hear the subtle voice and feeling inside you. A great way to calm your mind is to do breathing exercises. Meditation is also another great technique to strengthen your ability to communicate to your soul. Technique number 2, get plenty of sleep. Create a schedule that makes it possible for you to get at least 6 to 8 hours of sleep every night. Once you have created a schedule, try to stick to it. Not only will you find that getting lots of sleep every single night allows your body to recover from fatigue, but you also are making it easier for you to focus your thoughts. Staying in control of your thoughts is important for increasing your spiritual awareness, because thought is the energy entity that constructs your reality. I feel like I wrote this article. So good. Technique number 3, spend time with nature. The secrets of life are embedded in nature. If you want to increase your spiritual awareness so that you can understand what life is, you need to study nature and learn how to live in harmony with it. As your connection to nature strengthens, your spiritual awareness will also increase. The reason for this is because when you become more aware of your natural environment, you start to see why things occur the way they do. This awareness can help you understand who you are and why you are here. Number four, which is important, we talked about this earlier, the mindset. Stay positive and laugh often. Laughter is an important part of a healthy mind and body. When you laugh, you secrete a chemical that automatically boosts your mood and improves your physical health. After a good laugh, you will often find that your problems no longer seem so huge, causing you to have a positive attitude. The great thing about being a person who laughs a lot is that laughter is contagious. When you laugh, people around you will generally feel better, and pretty soon everyone will be happier and more spiritually connected. Number five, activate your pineal gland. This is interesting, guys. Listen up. The pineal gland is a powerful and mysterious small gland located in the center of your brain. This small gland, also referred to as the third eye, the inner part of the mind's eye, this gland is believed to have mystical properties. Many spiritual teachers believe it has the ability to see the spiritual realm and is the seat of the soul. The pineal gland is the section in your head that anchors the soul to the rest of the body. When it's working properly, it becomes easier to communicate to your soul and your spiritual realms. Have you ever had an experience when you were in the process of waking up and you saw your room with a 360-degree view, even when you slightly opened your eyes? This 360-degree view is a result of your pineal gland being activated. Most adults' pineal gland is somewhat inactive due to the lack of use and the ingestion of harmful chemicals that can calcify it. One of the most harmful synthetic chemicals to the pineal gland is sodium fluoride. This form of fluoride is a waste byproduct of the fertilizer industry. The natural version of fluoride is known as calcium fluoride, which is often found in groundwater and in sold in tiny amounts. Sodium fluoride is a common in conventional toothpaste. It's common in conventional toothpaste. It's unhealthy for the pineal gland because when it's exposed for long periods of time, it can calcify it. That's an interesting perspective, and I agree to an extent that having toxins in the body in general prevents it from acting the way it's intended. To argue furthermore, most of the things that we do in our society, I said this earlier to one of my patients, I'm like, we live in opposite land. Everything that is good is bad, and everything that is bad is good. So think about that for a moment. What are the things that you're allowed to do? We're allowed to drink. We're allowed to smoke tobacco full of chemicals and other poo. We're allowed to eat all kinds of things that are legal in other countries. We are allowed to take drugs that kill more people than they heal. We are allowed to buy Obamacare. gently encourage, right? Just a little encouragement to buy that. Just think of all the things that you're allowed to do. What is considered normal? Just go through a list in your head really quick. Drive-thrus, grocery stores, injections of concoctions, transplants, bionic arms and eyes. Those things are normal. But planting seeds and nurturing them with love, drinking clean water, being in the earth and enjoying its beauty, looking at the stars for hours, leisure in general, just being, is unacceptable. What if we were allowed to just be? Why are we punishing the youth for trying to be? I mean, that's what we're seeing exhibited in our country right now, is people stopped going to work. People stopped going to college. People stopped looking for jobs. People stopped paying their mortgages. made me realize just collectively that there's more to being here than buying stuff. And everything's vibrational. All it took was one of us creatures to go, there's got to be more to this than stuff and things. And regardless of who you think the catalyst was or who the precursor was, you're right. Because whoever it was for you to bring you to this moment of clarity, and to this moment of receiving, they did it for you. And for you, it was particular and it was necessary. But it happened. Why did it happen? That's what I like to think about. So the next time that you're presented with a challenge, or something overwhelms you, or somebody hurts you, or steals from you, or you get a red light, or your cat dies, or your best friend breaks up with you via text message, whatever the case, apply this thought. Instead of going, "Ugh! Horrible!" Think, what is it teaching me? Or how can I choose the way that this affects me? And my uncle, bless my uncle, I speak about him often metaphorically. He used to be a prison guard, and he was a beast of a man, ruthless. Every time you began to ask him a question, he would immediately say no, without any empathy or regard to how it made you feel. When I was growing up, watching him and my aunt was watching opposites. You know, he was that one with moments of loveliness, and she was always lovely with moments of her. So they balanced each other well. And over time, I've watched him change and soften. He used to be existing in a world that gave him this perspective, though. He was constantly exposed to the people who were forgotten. You know, the people we talked about earlier in the mental hospitals who were having a profound experience through the shaman's eyes. You know, they were being chosen to be messengers from other realms. But instead, they're ignored and locked away and drugged. And the people in prison, you know, they made a choice that led to a reaction, you know, consequence. And instead of helping them grow from it and realize what it had to teach them, they are thrown away and taken their freedom and chance to thrive were taken away. And that's what he saw, and that's what he lived in, and that's what he perpetuated. He left that job maybe 7 years ago, and since then he's become totally different. He's an inspiration to the youth. He spends many hours during the week coaching young people, spending time with teenagers who come from broken homes, and interacting on a real human level with people who need goodness. And he does it because it makes him feel good. He's like preventing people feeling alone and forgotten. And it's wonderful to watch him exist in that type of light now. You know, he's different. I like to call it love on, not off. But his new campaign, and I'm going to share it with you, is not piss off, but peace off. P-E-A-C-E, off. And he explains it the best, but basically, you know, when you're feeling good about someone and you guys have a great kinship and all the energy exchanged is nice, you know, you're feeling peaceful and your fingers are up, they're facing upward. Peace is good. So he encourages people, instead of flipping people off or having an exchange of mean words and bad energy, you just turn the peace off. You just peace off. So instead of a little Y with your fingers, you have an A. The peace is off. And the funniest part is that it sounds like piss off, but it's not. It's peace off. So I encourage you to adapt the new trend. It's called Peace Off via Paul Young. He's on a mission. He's calling it a peace revolution. And who knows? Maybe the simple recognition of either on or off will be enough to help people deal with the things that they deal with in their life, which are mostly emotional. So we talked about a lot of different things tonight, all relating to how to be the best version of you and how to exist in this world as a very sensitive individual. And I think too often our feelings are not validated. They're disregarded and they're thwarted. They're pushed aside and people are taught to suck it up and it's all in your mind, you know. Gotta be strong, gotta do this. We need to spend more time saying, how was your day? How did that make you feel? You know, truly connecting with people. Instead of punishing people for their faults, build on their goodness. Recognize the things about them that are awesome and exploit that. I use the word exploit because it's essential. You wanna build goodness in people wherever you go. Whether or not you think it's deserved. Because eventually there will be a reaction. One day somebody will have a recollection of a moment that occurred, and within that recollection they'll relive certain moments in time, and they will make certain realizations about those moments that they collected, and they will see a pattern emerging when the time is right, because it happens this way regardless. And eventually there is a revelation, whatever that may be for that particular person. But I like to take an active role in the reaction. So we all know that the cycle's going to happen. So are you going to be active or reactive? That's what I want you to think about this evening and throughout your weekend. So whenever you're upset this weekend or have the potential to have energy that is not conducive to healing, think about how what you're creating will be received and realized in recollections at a later time. Because E does equal MC squared. It is all relative. I matter, you matter, we all matter, right? This article from The Mind Unleashed where it talked about essentially being this soul, not this body, and I couldn't agree more. I am not this body. You are not that body. You are traveling within it. Don't let it define you. Don't let it consume you. Don't let it elude you either. Because things aren't not what they seem. So I hope you guys had a great week. Thank you for joining me on the Anti-Media Radio. I had a great time. You can check out more shows on UCY.tv. Thank you to The Mind Unleashed. And I also read from healthyholisticliving.com. Enjoy your week, guys. Check you out on Monday.
I'ma let them know, through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo.